Today's Daf Pei Zayin. Today's learning is sponsored by Julian Frederick Sal, the Nishras Yeshua Ben Yitzhak. So we got to the bottom of Pei Vav Amud Beis, starting the new Mishnah. Mishnah begins as follows. It's even though it's different halachas, it's all really one scenario building off the next. So let's walk through this Mishnah slowly. So the Mishnah begins, Abbas Yisrael, Shein Nisus LeKohen. Abbas Yisrael, who's married to a Kohen, Tocha B'Truma, as we know, one who's married to a Kohen may eat Truma. Umeis, and now her husband dies. But she has a son who's a Kohen, so she's able to continue to tochel b'truma because her son allows her to eat truma. Nisei's lulevi, now she gets married to a Levi, so she can no longer eat truma, but now she's tochel b'maisa, even though she has a son who's a Kohen, but since her husband is a Levi, she's now forbidden from eating truma, but she may eat maisa because her husband's a Levi. Meis, now let's say the son's husband, Levi, dies, v'lahi manu ben, and she has a son from him who's a Levi. She could continue to eat tochel b'maisa because of the second child who's a Levi, but not because of the first child who's a Kohen. Now nisus l'yisrael, she gets married to yet a third person. So now that her husband's a Yisrael, lo socha lo b'chuma lo b'maisa, she can't eat chuma nor maisa, even though she has a child who's a Kohen and a child who's a Levi. But since her husband is currently Yisrael, she can't eat any of them. So now meis v'lahi manu ben. Now let's say her husband Yisrael dies. So, but she has a son who's a Yisrael. She still can't eat lo socha lo b'chuma lo b'maisa because her most recent child, who's a Yisrael, is preventing her from eating maisa or from eating chuma. Now let's say meis b'nab miyisrael. Let's say her son, the Yisrael, dies, so now she reverts back to the previous son, who's a Levi. So now tocha b'maisa, she's allowed to eat maisa but can't eat chuma. Meis b'nab miyisrael. Now let's say that second son, who was a Levi, dies, so now she reverts back to her first son, who was a Kohen, then tocha b'chuma, she could yet again eat chuma. Meis b'nab m'kohen, if her son, who's a Kohen, dies, so now she has no husband left, no children left, she's back to her regular self of being a regular Bas Yisrael, lo socha lo b'chuma lo v'maisha, she can't eat chuma, nor can she eat maisha. Now the Mishnah continues on the top of Pei Zayin and says as follows, Bas Kohen, now the opposite case, where the Bas Kohen, who grew up eating chuma in the house of her father, who's a Kohen, she's nisa to the Yisrael, she is married to Yisrael, so lo socha b'chuma, but she can't eat chuma anymore. Meis, v'lahi manu ben, if her husband, the Yisrael, dies, but she has a child who's Yisrael, still lo socha b'chuma, that child, the Yisrael, prevents her from going back to her father's house to eat chuma. Nisa to the Levi, she goes and marries a Levi, socha b'maisa, she can eat maisa because her current husband is a Levi. Meis, if that husband, the Levi, dies, v'lahi manu ben, and she has a child from that Levi, so tocha b'maisa, she could continue to eat maisa because the son was a Levi. And then if she marries yet a third person, Nisus l'kohen, she can now tocha b'chuma, she can eat chuma because her current husband's a Kohen. Meis, if that Kohen dies, v'lahi manu ben, but she has a child as a Kohen, she could still tocha b'chuma, eat chuma. Meis b'nab m'kohen, if her son the Kohen dies, lo tocha b'chuma, she can't eat chuma, but she can't actually eat la maisa because her next son is a Levi. Meis b'nab m'levi, if her second son, the Levi, dies, lo tocha b'maisa, she can't eat maisa either for that matter. And then meis b'nab m'yisrael, if her first son, as Yisrael, dies, then she's Chozaris LeBeis Avia. Then she goes back to her father's house because she's a Bas Kohen and she can eat Chuma yet again. V'al Zet Nemar, about such a case, the Pasuk says that Vishava El Beis Avia, Kinu'ureha, Milecham Avia Tocha. She goes back to her father's house, Kinu'ureha, like her younger days, and she can eat from the house, the bread of the house of her father, namely that of Chuma. So Gemara now says, Meis Bena Medlevi Tocha B'Chuma, Dehadra Achla, Mishim Bena. So if her son dies, she can eat chuma because she had the original son in the first case of the Mishnah was a Kohen, reverts back to the first son. Minol, and how do we know? Amar Rabbi Abba Marav, Bas Ubas. The extra vav is coming to include that there's another scenario whereby a person is able to eat not only because of her husband, but even because of her son, she's allowed to eat chuma. That's this case of the Ben who's a Kohen. Gemara says, come on, who's the one who darshins a vav? Come on, Rabbi Kiva darish vav. He is the author of the Mishnah who says, Bas Uvas is open for a drasha. And the Gemara says, no, afilu tema rabban. You can even say the rabban who normally argue in Rabbi Kiva that says you can't darshan evav here, kulu uvas kra yisehu. The entire word uvas is extra, and even they would agree you could make such a drasha that a kaben, who's a Kohen, could allow his mother to continue to eat chuma. Now the Gemara says, tani rabbanam, kishu chozeres, when this woman who's a Bas Kohen goes back to her father's house to eat chuma, she's only chozeres lechuma. She's only allowed to eat chuma, but ve'eino chozeres lechazav v'shok. That although when the Kohen gets the chazav v'shok from the shlamim, not only is he allowed to eat it, but he can feed it to his family. But when his daughter, who's a Bas Kohen, marries out and then comes back into the family, she's only allowed to eat chuma. But she's already, once she's been possible from eating chazav v'shok, she can never eat chazav v'shok ever again. How do we know? What's the basis? The Gemara brings down 6-7 different explanations. How we know she's chozeres the truma, but she's not chazeres l'chazav eshok. So Amar Rav Chisi gives the first suggestion. Amar Ravina Barshila Maikra. What's a pasuk that tells us this? He b'chumas hakadoshim los tochel. You need the whole pasuk. The pasuk really reads uvas kohen kisiel leish zar. When she marries a zar, non kohen. He b'chumas hakadoshim los tochel. She can't eat that which is removed from the kachrim. What's removed from the kachrim? She b'murim b'na kachrim chazav eshok, which is separated from the shamim lo socha, she can't eat forever. The olam that iser exists the moment she marries out, she never can eat chazav eshok ever again. Rav Nachman Amar Rabba Baravua milechem velo kolechem. Some of the bread she may eat, maybe not all of it, because the pasuk says v'shave el beis aviyam kinure milechem aveitocha. Doesn't say lechem milechem, from some of the bread, namely chuma, she could eat yet again. However, prat lechazav eshok, but she can't eat the chazav eshok of the shamim. So maskevla Rami Barchama. Maybe we're trying to exclude is that maybe that the father no longer has rights to Fars Nadarim, but nothing to do with the food. Maybe she could eat all the food. She could eat Truma, she could eat Chazei V'Shok, but maybe it's just excluding that he has no right over her Fars Nadarim anymore. I think Zwar is going to prove to us that no, we know from elsewhere that the husband, the father, is not able to make for the nether, and therefore the drasha here is to exclude Chazei V'Shok and not to exclude Hafaris Nadarim. How do we know that he can't be made from the Dharma anymore, the father? So Amar Rava Kvar Pascha Tana Debei Shul Debei Rabbi Yishmael. We already know the Tana Debei Rabbi Yishmael. The Nether Almana Ugrusha, and it says Kol Asher Asher Al Nafsha Yakum Aleha. Ma Tamalomer. What do we learn from the pasuk? Halo Muta Mikla Ab Muta Mikla Ab. We already know once she's been widowed, she's been divorced. That means she left her father's house, and now she left her husband's house because he either died or divorced her. So what are you coming to tell us that no longer Hafar works by the father? That's obvious. If the father gives the daughter over to an agent of the Baal to be married, or the agent of the father gives it to the shliach of the Baal. Either way, she left the father's house. She's on the way out to get married. She becomes widowed or divorced. But there, along the way, how could you say the pasuk? She's certainly no longer in the father's house. The father already sent her off. And she's also not in the husband's house because they never got married. He died or divorced her. Ella, Lomel Lachamas, tell me. Kaven sheyotz the shachas merishus av. The moment there's a second in this world where she left her father's rishus, shuveinu yachal haf. There's no need to do a fara anymore. That's already an obvious point. We read this from the pasuk here about the geneder almanu grusha yakum aleh. So that's known from this pasuk. You don't need the pasuk of milechem to tell me that. Must be therefore the word milechem is coming to exclude not hafaras nedarim, but instead to exclude her from eating chazav eshok. Rav Safra brings another reason why we know she doesn't eat chazav eshok anymore. Rav Safra Amar milechem avia tochel lechem velo basar. No, the word the bread is the emphasis. Chuma, which part of chuma is the dagan, the chamisha mine dagan, so she can eat bread, but she can't eat basar. What's basar? Chazav eshok, that she's not allowed to eat. Rav Papa Amar milechem avia tochel lechem hakone leaviha prat lechazav eshok to mishulchan kavoh kazachu. No. The lechem aviyah, the focus is the word aviyah, hers. The chuma is owned by the father. That's what she can eat, which is owned by the father. That's mamon aviyah. As opposed to chazav eshok, it's not the father's. It's given to him as a gift, but comes mishulchan gavoh, comes from the mizbeach, and that's not called aviyah. That's not called his. He has rights to eat it, but he doesn't have the ownership. It's not mamon aviyah, but that's the focus, the word aviyah. Then comes along Rav Amar, v'yeis chazav tenufa v'eshok ha-chuma tochlu, says the pasuk, ata. Uvincha uvnosecha itach, you, your sons, your daughters with you, bizman she itach, only if your daughters are always with you. But if there's a moment in time when the daughter left you, she got married to a czar, then she can never come back and eat shum ever, the chazav eshok ever again. And Amr of Adab or Avatana, he says another explanation, kashi chazeres levesavia, chazeres le chuma, vena chazeres le chazav eshok, when she returns back, she only eats chuma, but she doesn't eat chazav eshok, but he does point out, if Bishvil Benaf, she has a child, however, if a Bas Yisrael, now we're talking about Bas Kohen up until now. Bas Kohen becomes divorced, the widowed, she doesn't eat Chazav Eshok anymore. But now the flip side, a Bas Yisrael, who's married to Kohen, is allowed to eat Chuma, is allowed to eat Chazav Eshok, and if she has a son who's a Kohen, if her husband dies, but she has a son, she can eat Bishvil Benaf. So Chazar's Afla Chazav Eshok, she can continue to eat because of their son. So it's a little bit interesting because it sounds like the Bas Yisrael has stronger abilities to eat Chazav Eshok than that of the Bas Kohen. So Gemara says, Azar Rav Mordechai Amar L'Shmaisa Kamei de Rav Ashi Amar Meheicha Ka Mishrabi. How do you know that a Bas Yisrael may continue to eat if she has a son who's a Kohen? The word Mivabas, Miadifa Milemine. Is it true that the word Bas Kohen is stronger to allow a Bas Yisrael to eat because of a son is stronger than a Bas Kohen to go back to her father's house? Why is it any better? And the Gemara says, because it's the Gzeres HaKasava. Hasam Ksiva Miyuta. Over there, by the Chazav HaShok, we exclude Basis Kohen. Once you leave this house, you can never eat it again. But here by Bas Yisrael, who marries a Kohen, Lo Ksiva Miyuta. There is no word that excludes it. So therefore, yes, even though it may not make sense logically, but a Bas Yisrael who has a son as a Kohen may continue to eat Chazav HaShok. But a Bas Kohen who grew up as a Kohen, if once she's widowed or divorced, she may not eat Chazav HaShok. And that's just how the Pasuk darshens it. The Gemara now quotes from the Mishnah. Bas Kohen shenisis liYisrael. Bas Kohen is married to Yisrael. We said she can't eat chum anymore. If her son dies and all her children die, she can revert back to going to the father's house, and she's chazeres lebeis avia. The Tanya Rabban of the Brisa says, if a shava el beis avia, she goes back to her house and eats chuma, prat l'shemeres yavam. If she's a bas Kohen, but she has a brother, she lost her husband, but there's a brother who's a shemeres yavam, she's waiting for the yavam to make a decision, then she actually is not considered freed, and she cannot go back to the house of the father and eat chuma yet. If she's kenura, like when she was a young girl, prat l'mubes, but if she's pregnant with her deceased husband's child, that too prevents her from going back to the father's house. So Bas Kohen goes back, unless she's a Shomer Yavam, or she's Muberis, she can't go back and eat Chuma yet. So now the Gemara is going to bring a number of Kavachomers. We have to just walk this through slowly. Valo Dinu, isn't this a Kavachomer? What's a Kavachomer? That the Din, that a one who's a Kohen, who's Shinis Abram Yisrael, a Bas Kohen Shinis Abram Yisrael, certainly should eat Chuma. How so? So I've either said she can't eat Chuma. So the Gemara says, Ma Bimakom Shlo Asav Lad Minarishon Kiblad Minashen. So we walk this through slowly. When it comes to a Yibam, a person, we don't make the Vlad Rishon Kivlad Sheni. Let's say, for example, a woman is married once. She has a child from the first relationship. Now, she loses her husband. She gets married a second time. And now that second relationship, that second husband, he dies, and there are no children. So we say that she has to do Yibam Chalitza with a Yavam of the new husband. Ah, but she's a child from the first relationship. Don't we say when there's a child, there's no mitzvah of Yibam? No, that's only there's no child from the most current relationship. But although she's a child from the previous relationship, that has no effect on a new relationship she has with her husband who died. So Ma, just like in the case in the Yibam, Makom Shelo Asav Lad Min HaRishon, Kiv Lad Min HaSheni, we don't view a child from the first marriage as if it's a marriage, Vlad from the second marriage, Lepot Min HaYibam, rather she's still Chayv in Yibam, but Asa Ubar Kiyalid, but if she is pregnant, the din is we view the woman who's pregnant as if they had a child from the second relationship. If she's pregnant from the second marriage, so we view it as having a child from the second marriage and she'd be putter from Yibum in that second relationship. So Makom in a case by Achilas Chuma. She'osa Vlad min HaRishon Kivlad min HaSheni. We do view the previous child as a second child. That if she had that case in the Mishnah where she was married to Lev in Israel, if she has any children, whether from the first or second marriage, she doesn't go back to her father's house as long as she has some child who's either a Levi or Yisrael. So we do view the Vlad Rishon, give Vlad Sheni by eating Shuma, the posla min Shuma to exempt her from Pasla, disqualify her from eating Shuma. So how do we know? Eino din shenasa uba kiyalad. So certainly, when it comes to eating Shuma, if we view Vlad Rishon, give Vlad Sheni, certainly Muberis should be considered kiyalad. And the reason why a woman, Bas Kohen, who's Muberis, can't eat Shuma is not based on the Pasuk of Nuhurea, rather it's based on the Kavachomer we just viewed. You don't need a special Pasuk to tell me if she's pregnant, a Bas Kohen pregnant from Yisrael, does need Shuma. It's based on the Kavachomer we just laid out. Or says, lo, it's not true. This Kavachomer doesn't seem to be so glad, because Ma'li Asa Ubar Kiyalad Linen Yibum, Sherei Asa Mesim Kachayim. Maybe the only time we say this, that we view the Muberis, a pregnant lady, as if the child is born, to exempt her from Yibum Chalitza, maybe that's only by Yibum, because we view Yibum as one who's dead, Mace, Kechai, as if he's alive. How do we view that? The din is because, 1 second, because right, if the, after the husband dies, and the child is born, that child would allow be considered as if there would be no bits of Yibum. So again, am I getting that right? Hold on a second.
If the son dies, she's already
passed away. Yeah, look at Rashi. Last few lines of Rashi. Rashi writes, "In Yibum, sharei asa meisim kechaim." Says Rashi, "Meis baila, v'charkach meis bina." If the husband dies and then the child dies, so now she currently has no children anymore. Harei hu kechai ve'eino chazeres lizyabim. Even though the child's dead, we view the child as being alive to exempt her from doing Yibum Chalitza. Because Shas Misa, when her husband initially died, her son was alive. Now, even though now the son dies later, we view the son as being alive still and exempting her from the Yibum Chalitza from the Yavam. So again, there's a special kula when it comes to Yibum that we view the Mesim Kechaim, the son who eventually died, as if he's alive. So too, we're Mekel Lagabi the Muberis, as if the Muberis is considered Yalad. That makes sense. But in Chuma, she'll also Mesim Kechaim. We don't view a dead person as if they're really alive. And meaning, because if the son was alive, preventing her from eating Chuma, he's a Levi Yisrael, then that son dies, we don't say, oh, view the son as being alive and the wife, the mother can't eat Chuma. No, once the son dies, she goes back to the father's house as a Bas Kohen. So we don't view Mesim Kechayim Lagabe Chuma. So too, you wouldn't say this then here by Muberis is considered a Kiyalad. And that's why by Chuma, Tamalomer, Kinureha, Pratle Muberis. You need a special Gzerza Gossip to exclude a Bas Kohen whose Muberis may not eat Chuma. So that was the need for the drasha. Now the Gemara says, "V'itzrich lemichtav mu'uberes." You need to tell me that a mu'uberes may not eat truma, and you also need itzrich lemichtav v'zera ein la, that she has no actual children, she also can't eat truma. But if she has a child, or she's mu'uberes, a bas kohen may not eat truma. Why do you need both? Because the kasrachmana v'zera ein la, have we taught that to the case that she has no children, that's when she goes back to her father's house to eat. So I would have thought, me'kara chad gufa hasha tregufa, initially, she was one guf. And now that she has a child, she has two bodies, her own and her Vlad. And that's why she can't go back to her house, her father's house deep. But maybe if she's considered, she's Muberes, the Mikara Chagufa, Hasha Chagufa. When she was growing up in the father's house, she was one goof. And now she's also one goof because the fetus hasn't been born yet, so she's still one body. Maybe as a Muberes, she may go back to the father's house to eat. Ema Teichel, she should eat. Tricha, therefore, Kinurea, that no, when she's pregnant, she may not eat in the house of the father. Because Rachman and Muberis, have you taught that a Muberis disqualifies her from eating Chuma? The Mikara Gufa, initially she was a Gufa Srika. She was a small woman, she was empty, if you will. Hasha Gufa Mahi, but now she's full, so she's different than when she grew up. That's why she can't eat Chuma as a Muberis. About Zera in love, but when she has no children, the Mikara Gufa Srika, Hasha Gufa Srika, when she grew up, she was thin, she was empty, also now she's empty. Now she's another child, but her individually, she's not pregnant. So maybe she should go back to your father's house. Amalo, there wouldn't be an Itza Tricha, therefore Zera in law. No, as long as she has no children. But if she has a child, although as a goof, she's considered empty, she has another attachment to her child, and that prevents her from eating Chuma. Fine. So now the Gemara invokes a simon. Amarle, lo nasa, masa, misa, nasa, lo nasa, b'vlad, yavam, chuma, yivim, chuma, simon. It's a different simon. Remember, we're going to suggest four different kavachomers in different directions. After what we just said, we're going to make a few other suggestions. And the Gemara says as follows, to finish off the pair. The Gemara says, Amar Lei, Rav Yehuda, Midaskarta L'Rava. Lo Nasa Mesim Kechaim Linen Yibim. Again, based on the Kav Chomer we had in Amun Aleph, we're going to take things one step further. Maybe we should suggest, Lo Nasa Mesim Kechaim Linen Yibim. Although we said that if a woman, her husband dies, and she has a son, she's no mitzvah Yibim. And even though the son dies later on, she's still exempt from Yibim Chalitza, because that son is viewed, even though he died, Kechaim. So Gemara says, what do you mean? Maybe we should say, Lo nasa mesim kachayim linen yibum. Maybe we should not view them as alive. Maybe if a son dies, then she wouldn't have to do yibum chalitza later on. So why should be kal v'chomer? Why would you think that chayim shouldn't be like a mesim shouldn't be chayim by yibum? Ma b'makom she'asa vlad min harishon kivlad min hasheni l'posa min hatruma. Just like we said, a child from a previous relationship is viewed as a child from a current relationship, and therefore she's possible for being a truma. She's not a bas kohen who could go back because she has a child. Zera ain't love, but she has a zera. It disqualifies her. But by Chuma lo asa mesim kachayim, but we don't view a dead child as if he's alive to pass from Chuma. So then makom shelo asa vlad min harishon kivlad min hasheni. By Yibum, where we don't view a vlad from a previous relationship as a vlad from the current relationship, the poet min Yibum, so certainly ain't odin shelo asa mesim kachayim, certainly then by Yibum, we shouldn't view the dead as if they're alive. And when her husband dies, even though she's a child now, the child dies later on, that then should, l'mafrei, require her to do Yibum or Chalitza. So that's the suggestion of the Kal v'chomer. And the Gemara says, no, Tamar Lomar, D'racheh D'archei Noam V'chol Nisivo Se'ashom. We want things to be nice. And what would happen when she initially, her husband dies, she can't get married to her brother-in-law because she's a child, so he's viewed as like hands off. And now the son dies and he's hands on. So it's strange, once with the initial relationship, the potential relationship wasn't there, it doesn't make sense to rehabilitate it later on. It's all going to be viewed in their eyes as something not glatt, and therefore we invoke the pasuk, Darchei Noam V'chol Nisivo Shalom, and therefore it's awesome. That's why we don't like the Kal v'chomer. Then the Gemara suggests another Kal v'chomer.
That's more of a catch-all, just logically.
Exactly, Yeah. So then it says, V'nasa Mesim Kechayim Lidin Truma. Maybe we should allow one who's dead by Truma to be considered chai and prevent her from eating true metzah bas kohen. Be kal v'chomer. What's the kal v'chomer? Ma b'makom shlo osav vlad min arishon kivlad min asheni lepotu min ayibam. Ayibam, we don't allow a previous vlad to be considered as a current vlad to exempt her from yibam. She has to do yibam with chalitza. And yet, asa meisim kachayim, but if the child were to die later on, we view him as being alive. So makom shlo osav vlad min arishon kivlad min asheni. By chuma, where a vlad from the first relationship is considered as if he's a vlad from the second relationship, the posim and a chuma, eino din shenasa meisim kachayim. So also, we should view the dead as alive. Gemara says, no, tamalom v'zera ain't love, v'ha ain't love. When it comes to chuma, we all care about lemaisa. Are there children or not? We can't view meisim kachayim, because the pasuk says v'zera ain't love. That's why that kavachomer doesn't work. And Gemara suggests a third kavachomer. V'nasiv lav min arishin kivlav min asheni lin and ibo. We should allow a previous relationship, a child from the previous relationship, as if he's a child from a current relationship, to exempt it from Yibam, Mikal v'chomer, Ma b'makum shlo asa meisim kechayim lina chuma b'chuma, we don't view the dead as alive, yet asa v'lav min arishin v'lav min asheni, kivlav min asheni, a child from the previous relationship, is as if he's from the current relationship, and will disqualify her, mina chuma, makum shlo asa meisim kechayim lina Yibam. By Yibam, the dead are considered alive, so ain't it then, certainly we should allow the v'lav min arishin to be kivlav min asheni, and exempt her from Yibam. When it comes to Yibam, the pasuk says we have to make sure there are no children. We don't care if there is a dead child, we don't view them as being alive. Lamaisa, is there a child or not a child? We don't view the Vlad Rishon Kivlad Minashen. He has to be from the current relationship, not from a previous relationship. And then finally, the last kavachomer the Gemara suggests, lo nasiv vlad min arishon kivlad min asheni, the chuma. We should say a child from the first relationship should not be considered as if he's from the current relationship to exempt them from chuma. She should be able to eat chuma mi kavachomer. Ma b'makum shasa meisim kachayim lepotim in yibam. We view the dead as being alive to exempt it from yibam, but lo asa vlad min arishon vlad min asheni legabe yibam. Makum shelo asa meisim kachayim lin chuma. But by the chuma, we don't allow the dead to be viewed as alive. So eino din shlo nasiv vlad min arishon vlad min asheni. So certainly we shouldn't allow the vlad from the rishon to be considered like a vlad min asheni to exempt it from chuma. She should be able to go back and eat chuma. And the Gemara says tamalomer ain love v'zera ain love v'hayesha. We care about there being children, whether it's a child from the first or second relationship. Lamaisa, she's a vlad, even though it's from the rishon. Whatever it is, that will exempt her pasuk from eating chuma until she has no children. Hajin lach yesh mosos yesh mutaris, and that's the end of the ninth parak. Now we begin the tenth parak. Okay. The parak begins as follows. Ha'isha shehalach baila l'midras hayam. The woman whose husband goes overseas, uvav amrlo, they come back and tell her that meis balecha, your husband died. Now Rashi points out very importantly, and the Gemara is going to prove this, but Rashi, even though it says amrlo, they said, it's really referring to Eidecha. And Eidecha tells her, your husband died. V'nisei, since she gets married, assuming the Eidecha was correct. V'charkach ba bala, but her husband somehow shows up, it was incorrect, the Eid was wrong. So teitze mizeh amizeh, she has to get divorced from both her previous husband and her new husband. V'ticha get mizeh mizeh, requires a get from both of them. And v'ein la ksuba, there's no ksuba, v'lo peris, v'lo mazonos, v'lo balos, v'lo azeh, v'lo azeh. She doesn't have any rights to either one of the husbands. V'imnatla mizeh mizeh, if she takes from either one of them, she has a requirement tachzir, she has to go back and return it all. V'avlad mamzer mizeh mizeh, and the child from the current relationship, or the child from, if she has a child with the husband when he, after returning, that would also be a mamzer. V'lo zeh v'zeh mitamila, neither husband would be mitamiter. V'lo v'zeh v'zeh mizakim, v'lo mitziyasa, v'lo ma'asiyadeh, v'lo ha'farsh nidareha. Neither one of the husbands have the rights to her, any of the findings, any of her parnasa, any of her ha'farsh nidareha. You should look at Rashi for a second. Rashi writes here, three lines down from the top of the parak here, teitze mizeh mizeh, kishar eishes ishes zizinsa, like anyone else who was mizana. Dehoch lav anusa, she's not called anusa. V'afagav dehemnu, rabban le'edechad, even though we trust in Eidechad, be'isha, mishim iguna, time of why we trust it, not really because we trust Eidechad. The reason why is, once Eidechad gets the ball rolling, time of my mishim dehi gufa daika. When she hears her husband dies from Eidechad, she's going to now do some heavy research and investigation to find out whether it's really true or not true. But it's not, we're simply relying on the Eidechad gives it enough to work with to put her into into motion. But she wasn't a daika, obviously, because her husband showed up alive, so now she gets penalized, and that's the situation here. So it's not really that we trust Eidechad, but he just kind of gets the ball moving a bit. So then the Gemara says, back inside the Mishnah, she's a Bas Yisrael, and now she's with a second man, Nifsal Minakuna. She now is possible to marry a Kohen. She's considered a Zona. Ubas Levi min a Maisa. Bas Levi is disqualified from eating Maisa. She's a Zona. Ubas Kohen min a Chuma. Bas Kohen can eat Chuma. Vein Yorshin Shalzeh. Yorshin Shalzeh. Yorshin Ksubasa. Neither side, neither husband can be Yorsh to Ksuba. Rashi tells us the Gemara is going to ask what Ksuba. We said above there is no Ksuba, so we'll figure out what Ksuba that is. Vim Maisa, if she dies, if the husband dies, She still does require chalitza, however, not yibum. But why is chalitza even needed? We just said she's also, so says Rashi, cholten achiv shel rishon midaraisa, because she's really married to her first husband. So to release her, she needs chalitza from the brothers, a chalitz. Rabbanan gaza de liyabim. It's the Rabbanan say, don't be miyabim her. V'achiv shel sheni, then now really this brothers of the second one don't really require chalitza because she never married to them, but you require one anyway, says Rashi, midirabbanan, v'shim gzeir shema yomru girish zev, and now says that we're going to be concerned that she got divorced from this, the first husband, she married the second husband, and then she goes scot-free without a chalitza. So we require chalitza even from the second husband, even though there's no kedushin that was chal in the first place. But really, mikah din, you don't need one, only from the first husband, where they really were married. But then the Mishnah says further, Rabbi Yossi argues, and we'll see all this in the Gemara, not today, but maybe tomorrow or the next day. Rabbi Yossi Amar, ksuba sal nichsei ba'ila rishon. No, she does get a ksuba from her first husband. Just because she acted upon the edechad doesn't mean she loses out on the ksuba, she gets a ksuba from the first husband. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Harishon Zakai b'mitziyasa Masiyadel for Farsin Nidareh. He takes one step further. That no, she still is married to the first husband, and the first husband has all the normal rights of a normal husband. Rabbi Shim Omer Biyasa Ochaliyat Tziyasa Me'achav Sharishon Pateres Tzarasa. That he also views this as her being married to the first husband, and the husband dies, that she gets a bia or chalitza, yima chalitza from any of the brothers. It would exempt her from any of the other co-wives. Ve'ein Havlad Mamzer. Many moms and the children are not considered moms there, and we view this really as a marriage. We'll see all this why in the Gemara why this all works, why the children is not a moms there. If this says shlo b'rishus, if however she gets married without rishus, then mutaris lachs or lo. What does that mean without rishus? If you look at Rashi, Rashi writes and he says shlo b'rishus shabo shnei edim v'amru meis balecha v'nisa ma'atzma sharei lohaisa tzrich lehater bezim. If two Edom come, and we rely on two Edom, you don't need a special hetef and bezin. Two Edom are trusted. If two Edom say that her husband died, she could go ahead and get married, she's completely onus in that case because she trusted in two Edom like we're supposed to trust in two Edom. Then her husband shows up, she's not at fault at all, and she's allowed to go ahead and marry the first husband. As opposed to the first case, where there's only one Edachad, and the rest of it was on her to do the research, and she didn't do the research properly, she's penalized, and she cannot remain married to her first husband. But this case, where the two Edom, you didn't need a special hetzer from Bezdin, so then she was onus, she can stay married to her first husband. If, however, niece is up to Bezdin, if she did marry based on the hetzer of Bezdin, so then, Tete, she goes out, upturmina carbon, she's pater from the carbon. Why she pater from the carbon? She acted in Bezdin, and the halach is a person, Rashi says, the yachid she'asa beharas Bezdin is pater. You don't have to bring a carbon for making any mistake.
This is with
one. The only time you need a heter Bezdin is the one aid. But one aid, so Bezdin says, okay, you have a special heter when there's one aid. They allow you, assuming she does the proper research. With two aid, then there's no need for Bezdin. One aid, Bezdin needs to get involved. So again, if she was nisayis al pi bezin, which means eid echad, so then she has to get divorced from her first husband because she didn't do the proper research. But she's also pater for bringing a carbon because a yachid who acts in a hara bezin, what she did, she pater for a carbon. But if lo nisa pi bezin, but rather on two eidim she acted upon, which she had the right to, then she's tated. She has to get divorced from the second one, but she remains married to the first one. And chayavas be carbon, she is chayav in a carbon because she made a mistake. So now, the Achron points out, but wait a second, didn't we say she's onus though? In the case of onus, you don't bring a carbon. If she acted on two Edim, she's allowed to stay married to the first husband because she was onus. Well, if she's onus, she shouldn't have to bring a carbon. So why is there a carbon? So the Achron try to figure out why this is. She's kind of in between onus and shogeg, but either way, she could stay married to the first husband, but yet she's still chayiv for being with another husband, with another man. And Yafa, koch bezin, shepotim in a carbon. Bezin is stronger, although it's only one aid in that other scenario, but since Bezin gave her the stamp of approval, she's exempt from a carbon, as opposed to the first case, even though the nemanis was stronger, she had two aidim, she's chayiv in a carbon. And then the Mishnah says, harul bezin lina. So Bezin says you have the right to get married, there's one aid echad, do the research and get married, and halcha v'kilkla, but she gets married to someone who's also to her, a kohen gadol to the amana, or a kohen hedor to a grusha v'chalutza, in those cases, then chayavas b'karbon, she's chayav in a carbon. You cannot rely on Bezdin in that case to exempt you from a carbon, because shelo hitiru ela linasei, they only gave you heter to marry he or she, he who's to mutter to you, but not one who's asa to you, so you don't have the exemption of Bezdin in that case when you didn't follow the halach. So now the Gemara says as follows, it begins this new parak for the Gemara. Mitikatani Sefer, from the fact that Sefer says, niseis shelo b'rishus muteris lachzerlo, Shalobar Shus Bezdin Ela Beidim. I mean, who allowed her to get married? It must be not Bezdin, but the Edim. Meaning it's a case of two Edim. That's the Gemara of Medayik. What does it mean, Shalom Brishas Bezdin? It seems counterintuitive. It means you didn't need Bezdin, but you need Edom. So that's the case of the Seifa, where there's two Edom. Michal implying, the Resha, Brishas Bezdin means Beit Echad. So they mean the first case is when you say Brishas Bezdin, that means when there's Eid Echad, that triggers Bezdin to give you a Heter. So we see from this that Alma, Eid Echad Neman, we see that Eid Echad is trusted. There's a certain Emanus here. That even though Rashi told us they're not really trusted because Eid Echad simply allows her to start thinking about the case and investigating, but there is still some Nemanus of an Eid Echad that we can even get that process started. So we see that Eid Echad is Neman. So Gemara says, Tzna Nami, we also have a Mishnah that tells us, Huchzakal Yos Mesin Eid Mipid, Eid, you're allowed to trust one Eid who tells another Eid that she could get married, that her husband died. Vishim Mipi Isha, and even a woman is trusted to tell me that the woman's husband died. We don't want any agunas. Vishim Mipi Eved, Mipi Shifcha, even from an Eved, although normally we don't trust the Eid, as Eidim, these individuals, a woman or a Shifcha or an Eved, Legabe, a case of an aguna, that her husband dies, we will trust them. Alma Eid Echad Neman. So we see from here as well that an Eid Echad is Neman, Legabe, Bala Isha. But Tzadnami, the Mishnah also says that if an Eid Echad were to tell me, Omer, Achal Techel, I saw you ate Chelev, you owe a carbon. Who Omer, he says, what do you mean? Lo Chalti, I didn't eat. He's Potter. Time Adamer, Lo Chalti, only because he denied eating, is he exempt from the carbon? Ha Ishik, had he been silent, Mehemen, we would trust the Eid Echad that he owes a carbon Chalti, for eating Chelev. Amma, we see yet another case, Eid Echad Mehemen. So we see in these different areas, Eid Echad is trusted Lagabe Baal, and it's trusted Lagabe Chayav, a person of Chalti. Minolan, how do you know? What's the basis? The Eichad Neman on the Dereisa level, Minolan. So the time the Gemara invokes a pasuk, the Dereisa says, Ohoda ilav chataso, lo shiodi acherim. So if he became aware of the his chait, he has to bring a carbon, but not that others let him know. Yachla afa pisha aino machisha. One might have thought, even though he didn't deny it, he should be pater from the carbon. Tamlomer, Ohoda ilav, mikomakum. No, the din is, if an Eidacha lets him know, they made a mistake. The pasuk tells us that he would have to bring a carbon. That's what it says. So Gemara says, "How do you know? What's the situation here? Hey, Chidami, what's the scenario here? Ilei madasu trei v'lo kamachish lo. If we're saying two edim come and say that you ate chaylev, and he doesn't deny it, krolamli. What do you need a pasuk for? That's obvious. Of course, if two edim say the Reuven ate chaylev, of course you bring a carbon. Elav chad is not talking about where there's one aid. V'chilo kamachish le mehemen. When he doesn't deny it, he accepts their one aid." He has to bring a carbon. Shema mina, we live from here. Eid Echad Neman. The pasuk, oh, hold on, love. If one person lets you know, and Eid Echad tells you you did something wrong, then you have to trust him. If you deny it, it's another story. If you accept it as Eidus, you trust him to go ahead and bring a carbon. So Gemara says, umimai, the mishum Eid, mishum de Neman. How do you know the reason why he brings a carbon is because he's believed? Maybe the reason why he brings a carbon, not because the Eid is strong, rather because mishum de kashrasa, because he was chosen, because he remained silent, and we have another concept called Shtika Kododami. It was his admission. By him saying silent, he admitted. So the Eid Echad just triggered his Hodah. But it's really the Hodah that's Mechayev the Karbon, not the Eidus of an Eid Echad. So there is no source of this Pasuk that an Eid Echad is actually trusted. So he said, Teda, I bring you a proof that the reason is because of Shtika. The Katani was safer. The Sefer says, of that mission, Meseches Krisis, that Amushnaim to Eid Eidim say, Achal the Chalev, we ate Chalev, who am I lo Chalev, I didn't eat, he's Pater. Rebbe Meir, Mechayev, he says, what do you mean? How can you stand up against two Eidim? Amar Rebbe Meir, he says, Kavachomer, im hevil shayim li de misa chamur. If two Eidim could testify that Reuven is Mechal Shabbos and it's Chayim Misa, so certainly, lo yavil li de carbon akal, he cannot bring a person to bring a carbon, which is much lower level. Amar lo chacham say back to him, ma im yir to lomar meza isi. The person could say, you're right, I ate chaleb, I did it b'mezid. And a person who eats chaleb b'mezid is potter from a carbon, only if one eats b'shogeg is he chayib b'carbon, but if he's mezid, he's potter. So since he could have gotten a way out, said, you're right, I did amazing. Miguel, he could have said that. He's also trusted to say he didn't eat it at all. So it's a special din when it comes to karbanos. So Gemara is medayik now in this Mishnah. So the Reisha, my time of Kamachai Rabbanan, how come Rabbanan say you're chayiv in the Mishnah when you're silent? Ilema, Mishum Dememan. If it's because we trust the Eid Echad, that's why they say you're chayiv a karban. Vahat Trei Ba'ama, two people in general. Diafo Gavda Kamachash Mechachishalo, even though in general, two Eidim say you did something wrong. And Reuven denies it. Inu memne. Normally, Eidim are trusted, but yet in this case, Kapati Rabban said he's off the hook by a carbon because by a carbon he can always claim Mezda. You see, so Elalav we clearly see it's not based on Eidus. Because if two Eidim can't be mechayev the carbon, certainly Eid Echad can't be mechayev the carbon if he denies it. So when we're working with carbon, it's not based on the halachas of Eidus or not. Ella must be the world of carbon is mishum the issue because he was silent. B'shtika kol dodami, and that's why he's chayv to bring a carbon because his silence is his admission. we still have to go back to square one. So what is the source? What's the basis that a person can we trust Eid Echad? And the Gemara says, well, stop here, Ela Svarhu, the Svarhu. And the Gemara is going to go on to explain what exactly the Svarhu is, and we'll leave this for tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem. Okay, everybody have a wonderful day.
It's interesting that Rashi, what